Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Oh, it's playoff day. Whoa, am I excited. Four teams left. Who's going to go to the Super Bowl? You know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the day. That's right. I'm a big football fan. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. This is Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. And as always, I just want to welcome you to the show. I am the world's only happiness specialist. Yes, I wear that. I wear that. Sometimes it's a, let me tell you something. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's light. There we go with the labels. And sometimes it's just, you know what? Scratch both of those things. It's what I have dedicated my life to do and to be. And when I say happy, I'm not talking about when something great happens, I'm happy. I'm talking about really living rooted in the foundation of trusting that everything happens for a reason, of knowing that everything is in order, of surrendering to what is without resistance, of letting it go, of acceptance not only of myself, but acceptance of others, acceptance of this life. It's really a practice, a day-to-day practice, just like anything else, just like the opera singer would practice, just like the musician would practice, just like doctor, lawyer, you know, writer, even whatever you're good at, you know, I don't care, everybody is good at something. Everybody can do something really well. I don't care what it is, even if it's waiting tables or even, you know, I had somebody come to my house yesterday. I know I'm going off. But this gentleman, it was really interesting because he's a gardener. And he was loving, I mean, he said he loves his job. He was out there with the shovel, pulling weeds, pulling plants. And he says, this is heaven to me. And I'm thinking, gardener, heaven, okay. But I could feel the likeness. It was like he said he's been in Oregon for 17 years working as a gardener, and he said it's heaven to work outside, to work with plants, to work with trees. I got to say, I didn't get it. And it was cold yesterday. But he could feel it. So we're all as different as our fingerprints, and that is just more something else to accept, that we're all so different, and I don't care what anybody else does. And that's the thing. One of the things that subtracts from happiness is noticing what anybody else is doing. But before we get to the topic of today's show, which is, oh boy, which ties into last week's show. Last week we're talking about it's impossible to get offended. And I know, I got a lot of detractors, a lot of people, no, don't agree. In fact, let me just start with a warning. I like to start, I started 2018 with just a warning, because you're not going to like everything I say. You're not going to agree with everything I say. And you don't have to. And some things I say is probably going to rub you the wrong way. But that's okay. What I'm sharing is what I've experienced in over and over and over again. So So the formula for happiness or the formula for this internal peace only has one element, one person in it. And it's that person in the mirror, whether you want to believe it or not, but you and you alone are responsible for your balance, for your peace, for your vibration, for your energy, for your perspective, for your behavior, for your words, and then accepting all of that and accepting you. But let me just give a shout out. Yesterday I had my first book signing in Sutherland, Oregon, and I want to give a shout out to the owners of the bookstore, Books Gallery. I met a few new people. I want to give a shout out to my new people, Pamela, Carolyn, Mesdaline, Sharon, Keith. You know, these people, there are probably 9 people yesterday, and that was their first time meeting me. and I was not holding anything back. And the topic was, you know, the truth about happiness. And, you know, I got some eye rolls and some questions that were I don't think so, Rebecca. But one question that I asked everybody, let me just start from the beginning. When I showed up, when I got there, the book signing was supposed to be from 1 to 4. And when I got there, an hour early, you know, setting things up, looking around. It's a used bookstore, new and used bookstore. Maybe 1 or 2 people were in the store. And around 1 o'clock when the book signing was supposed to start, guess what? Nobody was there. 1:15, 1:20. I even said 1:30. I'll give everybody to 1:30. Half hour, you know, book signing supposed to start. I'll give everybody to 1:30. Then I'm out of here. 1:30, nobody was there. And something said, just stay and wait. And the owner of the bookstore said she's going to call her husband to come. So at least I have one person, you know, listening. And you get to a point, I got to a point where one of the things that I practice on a daily basis for years is not having any expectations. And thank God, because even though I spent hours, you know, with the makeup, washing the hair, putting something fresh and new on, I didn't wear my flannel yesterday. There was still no expectations that people were going to be there, people were going to listen. I was ready. I was good. Whether one person, whether zero people, I had a guy that was. Thank you, Steve, for filming it, videotaping it. He was there. It doesn't, you know, the practicing expectations is a really a hard one. But all expectations are going to subtract from your peace. I don't care if you have a plane ticket to get on a plane to go visit your mother, let's say, and you don't get on that plane for some reason. There's no expectations, even if you have a plane ticket. Let's start with today's topic. What you believe you're going to get to experience, what you think you're going to get to experience. When you think something is great, you get to experience that. When you think something is terrible, you get to experience that either. So we're really living our interpretations of these events. We're not living life, we're living our interpretations, our judgments that we put on them. And so that's why I've just given this whole thing up and saying, you know what, this life is just an experience without any labels, without any judgments. And today I want to tie in with what we were talking about last week about being offended. And today I want to tell you about words being powerful. So yesterday at the book signing, like I said, there were about 9 people there. And I asked this question. I said, how many of you think that words are powerful? Well, guess what? Guess how many people raised their hands? nine people out of nine raised their hands and they said, yes, words are powerful. Well, like I said, I just met these people. And sometimes I might come out a little, you know, strong. And so I did a, I mean, I didn't have to do the buzzer that loud. I don't know why I did, but it was a loud buzzer. And they're looking at me, what do you mean? Of course words are powerful. And I told my favorite words are not powerful story. Because honestly, truthfully, we were all programmed to believe, we were all taught to believe, I'm going to say we, that words are powerful. Because asking the questions that I asked, can people hurt your feelings? A questionnaire. Can people hurt your feelings? People said yes. Can people offend you? Yes. Can other people disappoint you? Can you blame other people for how you feel? Yes. Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? Yes. Let's get back to the words. So December ago, 2016, I had a small speech in my chiropractor's office. And there were probably maybe 15, 20 people there. And it was a talk, 6 o'clock in the evening. And you know in December it gets dark. So at 6 o'clock in the evening, 15 people, it's dark. I'm talking about the same kind of stuff I'm talking about now, the truth about happiness, the importance of happiness, blah, blah, blah. And there was a woman that came in, and she had a little girl. And the little girl was a toddler in diapers, but she could walk around. I would say maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years old. You know, a little girl just bobbing around. And so she was sitting on her mother's lap. Now, immediately when I saw this little girl, I said, why didn't a mother bring the little girl to a talk? What? And the girl, but the girl was good. She was sitting on the lap. And then, of course, as it always happens, people get restless. I mean, it's 4 hours into the talk. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, a few, I don't know, 20 minutes in, and the girl's like, I'm done with sitting on your lap, Mom. I want to get down. I want to roam around. And, of course, this little girl is just, and the mom puts her down, and she's running up and down the aisles and running around, running in the hall, running back, running in front of me, running around me. And I'm talking. I mean, what? Hey, can't you see I'm talking, little two-year-old girl? Hello? You know that's rude behavior. I'm thinking in my head. And then, for whatever reason, I was inspired to pick that girl up. And I actually have a picture. I have a picture of it. It's one of my favorite pictures. And I pick her up, and I'm holding her in the middle of this talk, and I start to insult her. I said, you know what? When you grow up, you're going to be a loser. And you're ugly, and you're stupid. And you're going to be a failure at everything you do. Now, I'm telling the story yesterday, with this group that raised their hands and said words are powerful. All of them said that. And I'm telling the story, and, you know, you could see the eyes getting bigger and bigger as I'm insulting this little girl. And I even insulted what she was wearing. I said, you know, even what you're wearing looks bad. I said, who put this together? Your parents are losers, too. Oh, yeah, I was on all five cylinders, insulting this little girl. And I was holding her on my hip, and she was looking, as they say, wise enough or otherwise. And the mother was, you know, mouth hanging open. And I put the little girl down, and guess what she did? Anybody know? She just started playing and running around like I didn't say anything to her. None of the words that I said to her had an effect. none of the words that I said to her changed her demeanor, changed how she thought, changed what she wanted to do. She was in the moment. She wanted to play. She wanted to run around. She just was doing her thing. She was just being a two-year-old. She was just being herself. I'm getting chills now. Because I put her down, and while the adults were insulted, I don't know if they were insulted, but they were, you know, surprised, shocked. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody insult a two-year-old to every. And I put her down, and she's just doing what she was doing before I picked her up. And see, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. I learned that words could quote-unquote hurt. I learned that words could offend. I learned all of this. I was programmed to believe that words are powerful. I mean, look out in this world. People are, you can't use this word, you can't use that word because it's offensive, it hurts your feelings. Well, I say, who's more powerful? Who's more powerful? The person that can be offended or the person that can't be offended by any word or by any action? And when I asked that question yesterday, who's more powerful, everybody could feel, everybody knew that answer. They could feel, well, at least three people raised their hand. Yeah, the person that can't be offended is more powerful. I mean, if you are relying on something else or someone else, and they can move you, or what is said can bother you. I don't want to say this. One reason why I don't have any friends. No. You are responsible for your feelings, and words are not powerful. And I had to relearn that, because trust me, I remember when I was younger. Listen, I grew up in a house, I didn't hear my father say, he said hell one time when he was mad at his brother. He was on the phone, I'll never forget it, because I never heard my father say one curse word. And my father taught me that people that curse, that people that use that kind of language were bad people. That's what I really thought for years, for decades. I remember my mother had two brothers, and that's all they did would curse. That's all they did. And I used to think they were fun. I mean, I'm like, hey, this is new. This is different. But, oh, no, my father would talk about them like they were the worst of the worst just because of their language. And it took me a long time to – it actually took me – I remember thinking, but I like them, and they're fun. And so, it was a real conflict. That cursing thing, that using the language, I had that for so long. I was an adult. I'll never forget. I was what? I was probably in my 40s when I let that whole thing go about language and judging people based on the language that they use. Oh, and let me tell you something. Boyfriends that I had, oh, you couldn't curse in front of me. That was disrespectful. Let me give you the number. If you want to call in or if you have a question, the number here, I forget to give the number, is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Just press the number 1 if you have a question or if you want to add to the show. Oh, I see there's somebody with a question here. And let's just go right to the phones. Let's go to the audience. You are live on Reality Spirituality. What is your first name, please?
Oh, first, that was my question. What is my first name?
Hold on a second. Let me close my eyes. Close my eyes and come up with a name. Does it start with the letter N?
It does, actually.
Well, welcome to the show, Nathan, Nate Ballant.
Thank you.
Neo.
Thanks. Thank you.
So let me just finish with what I was saying, and again with the words. Giving
right.
words power, or thinking that words are powerful, definitely subtracts from your peace, and quite frankly, it's just not the truth. It is an unlearning, and it is, again, looking back into the mirror. Do you have any comments or observations or insights on that, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm feeling like words don't matter makes me feel like other people's, like I'm more in control of what I'm feeling. It really just kind of comes from me. It makes me feel like not putting my state of being on somebody else, which feels good and it feels right. Or if I do feel upset, like I did during most of listening to your show, I know it's on me.
That's why I put a warning on it.
I know. No, it's good. I know, and I'll say thank you on behalf of all of your listeners for the warning.
I did say that yesterday at the book signing. I said, put your seatbelts on. It's going to be bumpy. I said, strap them on tight.
Totally.
And I had to remind them, Lou, hey, you got your seat, because it's a bumpy ride. Listen, I've been on that road. It bumps.
I know. It is bumpy. It's still a little bumpy at times. But, yes, I see bumps behind me. There's some bumps under me. Maybe bumps in front of me. But yeah.
Now, you said something. You said listening to the show. And see, that's the other thing that's so important that you're bringing up here, is to be able to laugh about it and be light about it. That's really important.
Yeah, that feels really right. Laugh and be light, yes. So, you know, okay. Maybe I do have a question. Actually, I do have a question. Because,
okay. But the show's
because,
over.
Okay, yeah. But the show's over.
Yeah, but ask it next week. Call in next week because the show is over. No.
So.
No, go
yeah,
ahead.
I guess,
come on.
I guess this is kind of coming back to what we usually talk about, but when I'm in the flow, when I'm feeling light, when I'm feeling in at peace, when I'm in my groove, then I honestly don't really have a question. It's those moments of, I can, or maybe I realize I haven't been light in the last hour, or I haven't even laughed today, that kind of thing. There's a moment of realization. I guess let's talk about lightness, because I really like lightness for me. So for me, when I'm noticing, I'm like, damn, I don't think I've been light in a while. Then where can I go from there to experience lightness? Or do you have any, because in that moment, I feel light right now, but in that moment, it feels like part of me says, oh, I can't be light right now. It's not funny. It is serious, or I don't want to be light, but how could I not want to be light? But that's what's going through my head at the time. So I'm looking to make that transition. Any suggestions?
Ooh, you know, Nathan, I'm telling you, my whole body is chilling up when you were talking. My whole body is chilling up right now. I mean, I'm just chilled all over. I get chilled when I hear the truth or speak the truth. That's what I say, hear the truth. And I mean, my whole body is chilling up because your question is so rich. You've so many things, so many good things. May I?
Please.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. Listen, I'm not running around here feeling light all the time, and I'm a happiness specialist. There are some times when I feel heavier or whatever, you know, those these words. But I know what you're talking about, that, well, this shit isn't funny and nothing's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And so the first thing I do, the first thing I practice with everything is accepting even those heavy moments. That's number one, just practicing accepting the heavy moments and not trying to push, I want to feel it. See, because we talked about this before, and we talked about having an attachment to feeling good.
Okay. Yes.
Remember, we, I don't know if
yeah,
you remember
for sure.
That.
No, I do
yeah,
remember that.
So it sounds like, and I had to get rid of that attachment because in 62 years, listen, I don't feel quote unquote good all the time, but there was a wanting to feel good all the time is an attachment. And so all the attachments have to go, every attachment, because all the attachments subtract. But okay, so now we get to the acceptance of all the moments, because you're right, feeling good, feeling in the flow, you can't get any better. You know, I can cry in a minute when I'm in those moments.
Yeah, getting, for sure.
So, but then here we go. Here we go. I do this on a daily basis. There is not one day. You know, you teach yoga, and I have a question for you. Is a day, do you go through any of your days without stretching?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is something that you do? Okay, do you do, okay, how about this? So that struck my other question now. Okay, do you go through any days without brushing your teeth?
I don't know why you're asking me on air about this, but yes, there has been days that I haven't brushed my teeth. Anything else you want to know?
I'm trying to get to a point where you do something every day. Do you
right,
go have
right.
days? Because I don't brush my teeth every day too. So there. I mean, if I'm at
okay.
home sometimes, oh, I didn't brush my teeth today, but I'm not getting on. Whatever.
And,
go through any day.
Something I
don't
do every
eat.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, something you do every day. How about, you know,
the
you
only thing I do
eating, drinking
was,
water. How's that?
The only thing I've done every day for sure is I peed every day.
There
I'm pretty
you
sure.
Go. Okay. Okay. Thank you for giving me that. I just didn't have the right example, and that's on me.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you go through a day without peeing?
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, I don't go
okay,
through a day without
good.
It, no.
Okay, good. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for that honest answer. And that's a really, you know, that's a really good answer. I'm going to use that in my stories now, and the other stories don't, they don't work, because you're right. Sometimes we don't brush our teeth every day. But anyway, 90% of the time, you brush our 80% maybe.
Right, true,
and,
true,
but
true,
peeing
true.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day, this is what I do every single day. There's not one day that I don't do this, is look at something that's going to make me laugh.
Oh, are you sure you do that every day?
Every day. I didn't say that I didn't do feeling down or that every day, but I definitely look at something. I look at my Impractical Jokers every
oh,
single day.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And if I'm not into that, you know what I was looking at today or last night? I was looking at a interview with Larry David.
Now,
I mean,
do you...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Does it happen around the same time every day? Do you get to the end of the day and realize you haven't done it and you want to do it?
No.
Does it just happen?
It's a habit now. It's just a habit. I look
when
for
do you
something.
Do it in the morning?
No, I didn't do it in the morning.
No,
I,
not this
I,
morning.
I don't,
but...
No, in the morning? Do I do it in the morning? That's a good question. I usually don't do it in the morning, Nathan.
Yeah, not a morning. Okay, yeah, cool. I didn't feel like a morning thing or Impractical Jokers in the morning, but I didn't know.
Yeah, no, I don't do it in the morning.
I'm curious.
No.
Because yeah, with the teeth brush, I was being a go ahead. I was being an ass with the everyday thing. I get what your point is now. But the brushing the teeth thing is kind of like a, okay, do I brush my teeth in the morning and I brush my teeth at night? I mean, that's pretty much every day from as far as something I do every day. And there's a little bit of a cycle with it, a reliable
cycle. Yeah, pattern
cycle.
Or habit. You know,
yeah, a little habit, right.
Mm-hmm. So it's become one of my habits, and I just something to make me laugh, and people, like, I'll go on and look at people that make me laugh or people that I know are I'm going to be, not necessarily make me laugh, but I'm going to be entertained.
Oh, okay.
And
are we just talking about lightning? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a habit. It's a habit. Like Larry Dave was talking about his mother, and he says, you know, my mother didn't want. He said she told me I wasn't special. He said he wanted to be a sportscaster, and she says, oh, you can't do that, Larry. She says you're not special. I mean, just listening to people that I know are funny, or listening to Impractical Jokers. I mean, I do that every single day, and usually before I go to sleep or if I'm watching TV, I'm always going back to Impractical. I've seen every goddamn Impractical Joker episode. I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I watch it over because sometimes, and it always makes me laugh when they tape Sal to the table and he couldn't get off and they put cats on him and he's screaming because he's so scared of cats. I mean, it makes me laugh.
Yeah. I have those things, or I look at funny videos, or I'll scroll through animal videos just to, and it helps, like, I mean, and it depends on where I'm at. I might not be cackling, but I might be, but it definitely feels like it's lightening me up, or at the very least, it's kind of taking my attention off of maybe wherever I'm coming from. Just making everything real simple, and I just get to focus on a dog jumping. I like the videos where the I like the videos where this cat's trying to jump onto the couch and he makes this big leap of faith and he comes up short. It's really funny. It's kind of sad too. You see the cat look where he's
funny.
Yeah,
but see. So I'm feeling there's got to be some acceptance to even those other moments. But then putting in your mix, your daily mix of doing something for you, and it's not making yourself laugh to get out of those more serious moments or those darker moments or those heavier moments. That's the word I wanted to use. It's not, well, it is, I don't do it because of that. I do it because I like to, it is something I do every day.
No, I'm into that, and I'm definitely into not doing it to get out of that. That's good.
Yeah.
Because I'm on this word, this authenticity word, and I'm really thinking about this word, what it means to me, and to me, authenticity just means relaxing into whatever is actually there in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is different in the moment every time, because every moment's different. So. And I think from there, relaxing to the moment, it can maybe be translated to what you said with just accepting. You said, I said, well, what do I do? What do I do if I'm feeling this? And you said, well, first thing you have to do is accept it. And so that kind of resonates with me as far as being authentic or honest with what's actually what I'm working with. Oh, I use this. I'm starting to use this analogy of the Uber driver and how you want to get picked up by an Uber, you've got to give the Uber driver your address. You got to tell the Uber driver where you are. you don't say, well, I'm over here and I want to be over here. I want to be on 19th Street, but I think I'm on 15th Street. Uber driver's like, where are you? I don't care where you want to be or where you, I think I should be on West End Avenue. Well, I don't know where you think you should be, but where are you? So you tell the Uber driver exactly where you are, and then from where you are, then you can go to, you can go somewhere else or maybe go where you want to go or just go somewhere. Anyway, what do you think about the Uber driver analogy?
You know what? I'm chilling up again. My body is, when you're, I was chilling up. I'm chilled. I'm actually, my whole body is chilled. That is one of the, I'm serious. My whole body,
yeah.
My head to my scalp is getting chilled.
Yeah.
No. And I'm going to use that, goddamn, and I'm going to use it. I can give you credit. I love that. Where did you come up with that? You just pulled that out of your ass?
Yeah, I pulled it out in the last couple of days. Just really diving into authenticity.
Oh, my God, that's, you know, brilliant.
Yeah.
No, really, where'd you came up with that? What?
Yeah. And how about this?
What?
So the driver, now I'm using the word authenticity, but I also like the word acceptance. If the driver represents acceptance, so once the driver gets to you, it's like a wave of acceptance, and also the driver is, if we imagine someone who is going to let you be you, is going to really listen to you, is just going to accept, you want to get in the car and you want to start yelling, you get in the car, start yelling. You want to get in the car and sit back and take a nap. This Uber driver of acceptance is going to let you do that, and it's going to accept you wherever you're at. And then you have to tell the Uber driver where you want to go. So you either know where you want to go. So I'm using like happiness, or I'm using a little bit lighter, or I'm using maybe I don't know where I want to go yet. I want to go towards happiness. And, or if we have two things for me, because I can be indecisive at times. I don't know if I want to go here. Maybe I want to go to yoga. Maybe I want to go home. So we just keep driving. We've talked about this when we're driving, and we practice just seeing if we want to pull over into Costco or not, or see if we want to keep driving. You've talked about that a lot, which is so cool, just following our inspiration. And you have all the time you need in the car. I want to go to Costco, and then, man, I don't want to go to Costco now. you go towards Costco, and it doesn't feel right, or you ain't feeling right.
Yeah.
So then let's go home. So it's like the driver's going to take you wherever you want to go, but you've got to get in the car first, the car of acceptance. And also it feels good to be in the car. Just like you tell me, kick your feet up when I come to your house. Kick your feet up. Relax. You know, this is a house of chill. It's a house of be you. For a long time, I had this feeling like I had to do something. I had to be something. I had to do certain things around the house, whatever. And then one time I remember coming over to your house to stay, and you told me, you know, I don't want you to really do anything. I just want you to just be you and chill out. That's all I need. And I'm like, talk about programming, and I had to really reprogram that for me. Because I'm like, that's all you need me to do? But it didn't, ego or whatever was really fighting that. Or not fighting that, but just, I guess accepting that. We're talking about accepting. I'll leave it at that. I'm talking for a while. Thank you for letting me get that out.
No, no, no. I'm sitting up here listening. I'm taking notes.
Yeah, take some notes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
One thing you said, how about this? Because while you were talking, that Uber driver is really you.
Oh, here we go. That's crazy.
When you were talking, that's what came to me, and I got chills again.
Oh, God. Uber driver is me. Jesus. I don't know where to go from that. Uber driver is me. Okay, I got to write that down.
But see, you said it. You said all the things you said. And the Uber driver takes you where you want to go. You want to go here. The Uber driver is accepting. You said you're screaming. The Uber driver accepting. Mm. Uber driver is driving you. You said all of that, and that Uber driver is you.
Fuck.
Fuck. You heard me.
Yeah. Okay, so when you say you, what is this, like the higher part of me, that kind of thing?
It's the real, yes, the conscious, it's the higher conscious. Yeah, if they're accepting, takes you wherever you want to go, no judgments, the Uber doesn't care. If you want to go to hell, let's go. You want to go over
right.
here to, the Uber driver is just wherever you want to go. But the big thing of the Uber driver is accepting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whoever gets in their car. See, because this thing about, I totally get it. It fucking feels better to feel good. I mean, come on.
Right, right.
But that's a program, too.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with some good stuff.
Yeah. Do you just have any last words on, not necessarily last words, but I do want to ask you about, because we talked about teaching and being embarrassed and you, because I teach too, and I can feel myself slowly not caring as much what people think or how I act or the right things to say. But I would like a little boost, like a little extra boost or just something that, because you said, oh, I don't get embarrassed anymore, or that's, it's just not in your vibe. And I'm really into that. So I don't know how you got there, or maybe it just took time, or you just got tired of it, or what happened, but I would love some feedback with that for me.
I'm getting chills again. God damn it, all the way up to my head. I'm telling you, so many chills. I'm serious. Anyway, you know I'm pacing, and I'm getting chills. Okay. And let me tell you how I got, because I know exactly how I got over it.
Okay.
I know exactly how I got over it, and it was because of teaching classes. It was because of teaching classes, because everything happened to me while I was teaching classes. I used to teach classes, and I would sweat so much. I don't know if I told you, but I would get a sweat around everything around my breast except for my nipples.
That's
Did I ever tell you that?
No, but I knew I knew your sweat would make shapes, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so the nipples were dry, and okay, this is I know this is a lot of information, and my nipples aren't very small.
Oh, I see. That's hilarious.
I mean, not small.
Yes. No, I got it.
Might as well say the size of a small saucer.
Thank you. I think I got it.
Not that big.
No, that's
not that big. But anyway.
Yeah. No,
and
for
so
sure.
I'm,
okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. That was the first thing that I mean, and there's nothing I could do. Don't you think I tried to do shit about that? Put paper. No, I couldn't do anything about it. So now I have to just suck it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Second thing I remember, I would spit. You know, I would talk, and I'd be close to the mirror, and there would be spit on the mirror, and I'd have to suck that up. But probably the worst of the worst, I would be on my period and it would show through when I'm on the floor. And I remember sitting up and like, shit, there was like this blood, and I mean, right in the front of class.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. If you're still getting embarrassed after that, then something's wrong with you.
And years and years and years. So it was because of teaching. There's no way that I could get embarrassed. And then also wanting to get rid of this being critical. But really the teaching is the big thing, because all this shit would happen to me. And then what?
So you're saying there was just nothing you could do about it, and it was like you could either like it or lump it kind of thing?
Yes, and you used this word. You told me about, you just said, you had to suck it up. You had to suck it up. I just had to suck it up.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's simple. I like that. Yeah.
But more than anything, this is what I say about people that get embarrassed. Because I have a thing about people that get embarrassed. The only reason why people get embarrassed is because they care about what other people think.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm thinking about, for me, in those moments when I really, really care, I'm really in it deep, I think it's just caring a little bit less. I mean, we talk about the avocado ripening. You know, I want the avocado to be ripe right away. But, yeah, to sort of expect that, I don't think is helpful to me. But maybe to have a little bit less feels good.
Okay, I thought of something. I thought of a possible solution. This is a real hard one. Ooh, this is a hard one to practice. I'm getting chills again. This is a hard one to practice. But whatever you're embarrassed by within that moment, you say it out loud so people can hear it.
No, that's good. Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Because I talk about a lot of shit about, you know, my hair, or I talk about the lights being too bright because of the wrinkles. I say these things out loud to people, or whatever I'm.
Right.
Yeah, whatever I'm embarrassed about, I used to just say it and make a joke about it. Like, oh, don't notice that. Don't look at that, because I'm, nipples are dry, whatever it is.
Right. No, totally.
To break that hold, because there is a hold, and to break free, because for me, I had to break free of all those strengths, because I mean, I was getting bombarded all the time with something. It was embarrassing.
Right, exactly, right.
It's like being a stand-up comic and bringing attention, being a stand-up comic. It's like Joan Rivers. She used to talk about herself. Was it self-deprecating humor?
Yes, right.
But you don't buy into it, but you just, like, you're able to say it to out loud, and it's going to be uncomfortable as hell. Let me just say that. But that's going to break you free of it. So what are you embarrassed about? You're embarrassed about your hair. My hair looks like shit today. Don't tell anybody. I like to say that. Don't tell anybody.
No, that's good. Yeah, I'll take your one-liners for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, don't tell anybody. All right.
Yeah. So give me an example of something. Yeah, what you would be embarrassed about in class.
I know. Gee, I really don't even want to think about it.
Okay. Well, see, that's the thing. You don't have to, but that's the way out of it.
Yeah. Whew.
Does that make sense?
It definitely makes sense. No, it's a really good one. It's really good. Yeah, it's really good.
Or you can even say, because I'm just coming up with something, you can even say, you see, it's also a thing about, I don't know, wanting to or thinking that you're perfect or you want to look perfect. Really not, I used to think I was perfect, but apparently I'm not. Look at this.
Right.
Great question.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I like that a lot. That's good for me.
And I like to brag about it. It's because you care about what people think. Well, you know, I don't care. Listen, yesterday, I don't know these people. I don't know if I'll ever see these people ever again. But I sure was myself. And, Nathan, there was one lady in the back, and she was laughing at me. She just started giggling. And I said, thank you for the laugh. She says, you're funny. But nobody else was laughing. Nobody else was laughing. I didn't make anybody else laugh. It was really funny.
Yeah, so interesting.
Yeah, because she gets me.
Right.
Oh, I wasn't saying anything. I made a few of them giggle a little bit, but she was laughing out loud like, you're funny, and I like that. And so I said, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, audience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes if you say a joke and it's not funny, I say, well, this is a tough crowd. What are you guys, from Detroit?
That's really funny.
Stupid.
No, that's funny.
Yeah, I always say that if nobody laughs when I'm, you know, trying to be funny. Oh, tough crowd is a, yeah. But anyway, this has been a wonderful show. I have to say, you added so much. I feel like reposting this show and tagging you because this is such a great show. So, I mean, just good, rich questions and I want to thank you, you added the show, Nathan.
For sure. No, that's so good. Well, you added to my life. I felt good. I wanted to talk to you today. And I got some answers too. I got some really cool things to work on. I like that stating the embarrassing thing is kind of fun, a little bit like, ooh, but that's good. And then just accepting that maybe I'm not light and not really forcing myself into lightness or expecting that I should be there. I really like that a lot too.
And
you hit me with the Uber driver's me. That's the other thing you hit me with. So thank you for those things. I wrote them down too.
An attachment to feeling good. We don't want any attachments to feeling good because that'll keep you fucked up.
Right. No, we don't want that.
No. I just want to share this last thing, what happened yesterday at the book signing.
Okay.
And at the end, I mean, I put everything in a corner. You can't wiggle out of, why do you worry? You know, who worries here, worry? I said, the only reason why you worry is because you don't trust. I mean, I put everything, the spotlight on everybody. So at the end of the talk, maybe 45 minutes, I said, any questions? There were no questions. I felt like they knew not to ask me a question.
Right.
Because they know. And then, but this is my biggest takeaway from that whole thing. The guy that was videotaping, and it just made my whole day. he says, we were leaving, you know, we're packing everything up. He says, you know what? He said, I've been too hard on myself. And he's older than, no, he's not old, he's 58. He said, I've been too hard on myself. He said, I've learned I've been too hard on myself. I don't need anything else. That made the whole thing for me. And you know, these other people, whatever, you know, people, I feel bad, or I'm not doing enough, you know, this motivational crap, I need to do more. No. He came away with, I've been too hard on myself. And I, you know what, I'm done. If I don't have one more thing in my life, I'm done. Next moment, reality spirituality is heard every Sunday. Heard every Sunday. My website, RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Reality spirituality, Instagram, yes. My book, Reality Spirituality and Truth About Happiness, is found on Amazon, the Kindle version. My second book, Program for Unhappiness, is in the process of being written. When? Who knows? But I'm writing it. And I just want to remind you, audience, who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Talk to you again next week. Thank you, Nathan, for being part of the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, always trying to be real. Oh, yeah. I love to spirituality. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get down.
Reality.